This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Eun Teik. Joining me is Lee Tree Lin. In the studio with us are Pierre Risset, a member of the new anti-capitalist party in France, and Chu Chun Kai, the Deputy Secretary General of Parti Socialist Malaysia. Parti Socialist Malaysia is putting together a conference on socialism this weekend and are here to shed more light on that conference is both guests. So Chun Kai,
yep.
You've been organizing this conference for a few years now, but this is the first time that you'll be on this show. Perhaps you can tell us the theme of this conference that's happening this weekend and the objectives.
All right. Starting tomorrow, 25th to 27th, we are having this socialism conference in KL's Lianguo Chinese Assembly Hall with the theme of Exit Capitalism, Build the Left. Basically, this is an annual event organized by PSM, usually in the month of November, since 2005. So it's to get together speakers from different backgrounds, and in several years we organize the international. We have more international guests to speak on the issue related to the to our current society, the socio-economic problems, politics, as well as exploring alternatives to the capitalist system we having today.
Pierre, you're one of the international guests, I suppose. What will you be speaking about during the conference?
Well, I want to convey solidarity from French and a bit European broadly to our Asian friends and from PSM, but beyond all the Asia-Pacific friends who will be in the conference. And all the more because we feel that, you know, we are basically in the same boat. Phase two, the global crisis of capitalism and of the ecological crisis. So it's really time to share and to strengthen solidarity links between Europe, Asia, and beyond.
Picking up on that, you've traveled Asia quite extensively. What is your sense of how socialism is received in this region?
Well, it varies from the countries, of course. But there have been, internationally, there have been a victory of neoliberal thinking for quite a while, which has weakened the socialist conviction. But I think we are shifting in a new period where the neoliberal ideology is in crisis itself. You can see it including with Trump elections and Duterte election in the Philippines or whatsoever. There is a possibility to revive hopes into a socialist alternative to the global crisis of the world governance created by globalization.
And for Parti Socialist Malaysia's part, what brand of socialism are you espousing? You know, what brand of socialism are you representing?
Okay, for us, BSM, the socialism we are bringing is a socialism from below. Basically, you're talking about brand, we don't call ourselves, whether Marxist-Leninist or whatever brand you want to call it. We're seeing that because this is just labor. What we think is important is the work we do, and also in terms of concrete policies, what are we bringing forward. And basically, our socialism, I think to bring socialism, the socialist idea in Malaysia, have to base in the reality of the Malaysian society. And of course, if you're saying it's a brand of socialism, definitely it will be a Malaysian brand, and have to have the support of the people of Malaysia.
But are labels not important? Because one of your main themes is breaking away from neoliberal globalization, for example. Aren't labels important to, I guess, capture succinctly what you're struggling for?
Yeah, basically this, we are proposing alternatives to the current system structures, which is for the last 30 years we are overwhelmed with this neoliberal ideas about how to run the economics, and of course bringing to the problem of today's the growing gap between the rich and the poor, the rising costs of living for the ordinary people, the climate crisis, and so on. So we felt there's a need for us to search for alternatives. And we go for socialism because it's something that represents an alternative for a more egalitarian society and also more democratic, where ordinary people can partake in the decision-making concerning their daily lives.
Pierre, it's primary season now in France. How would you describe the state of French politics as it stands at the moment?
As it stands at the moment... First, there is a complete disillusion toward the Socialist Party presidency, François Hollande, and government, because they were elected on the left program and campaign, and they applied neoliberal policies. If nothing changed in 1 year time, radically even less than 1 year, in 6 months, the competition is between the hard right and the extreme right, and the government, the left, is out of the picture for the coming presidential election. Secondly, in the right itself, you just had the process to select the presidential candidate for next year's election is ongoing. There was a first round and there's a second round next Monday. And the one who has the lead now, Fillon, he is from the hard conservative, Catholic conservative network backed candidate. Fillon. He is Thatcherian in terms of social and economic policy. He wants a break like Thatcher did insofar, and he is extremely conservative on societal issues, family and so on. So the possibility is that next presidential election, at the second round, when there is only two competitors, the choice will be between the extreme right National Front, Marine Le Pen, and someone like Fillon, the hardliners from the right, which is a very narrow choice, but which tells you a bit about the situation in France.
And you mentioned Marine Le Pen, and of course, there, I suppose, in a year which has seen Brexit and has seen Donald Trump, to have Marine Le Pen sort of rising once again is of concern to some. What is the appeal of the National Front and Marine Le Pen? Why is there this abiding, she seems to be somebody who's always kind of thereabouts, somebody who always has public attention or, you know, some measure of public support?
Well, for many reasons, I am not going in now because it would take some time. The real left, is not in a position to capture the angriness of the people. So it's more the nationalist right who is doing it. Unfortunately, from my point of view, of course, very unfortunately. And she succeeded into renewing the National Front, which is coming from, let's say, proto-fascist history. But it looked like an old, fashioned, macho party. And now it's led by a woman. The youngest MP in the parliament is a woman from there. Party, so she succeeded in against her father. That's family affair. There, big fight in the family. Against her father, she succeeded in giving a new look to the National Front. And secondly, contrary to what many people think, I think the rise of the National Front is not. It's not mainly due to racism issue. Of course, they are feeding themselves on racism issue, but it's on the disintegration of the social fabric. She presents the National Front as the protector of the poor, of the white poor, but of the poor. And she said, the left has betrayed you. We are going to protect you. So protectionism, she broke with many of the neoliberal past of the National Front. So, you know, they are similar in the Trump phenomenon and in Marine Le Pen, with different features, of course, because it's very consistent. So she's a very dangerous challenger because she is very efficient.
Chung Kai, just to bring you into the conversation as well, hearing Pierre speak, François Hollande's the downfall of his centre-left socialist party seems to correlate with the rise of Marine Le Pen's far-right party. But in Malaysia, for example, we don't describe our politics in terms of left and right. Is that a good thing?
Of course, no.
No.
Because for the last 40 years, our politics have been dominated by ethnic-based politics, which actually distract us from the real issues, the class issues, the division between the rich and poor, because we are distracted by the division among ethnics. And this is a problem of the politics in Malaysia today, where whenever there is a social crisis, economic crisis, political crisis, people tend to look into the ethnic lens, but not from the other lens.
But you see this happening in reverse in the Western democracies, isn't it? Like, they move away from speaking about policies to go towards more ethnocentric rhetorics.
Yeah, no, this is a manifestation of the crisis when you have when the crisis unfold, and a lot of the ideas have been coming out. And of course, those who are promoting the politics through a more using more towards sentiments, ethnic sentiments, religious sentiment, tend to easily get support. And this is a challenge for all the others, the alternative, especially the left. Of course, in Malaysia, the left has been smashed since the late 60s or early 70s. We don't have left-wing politics for at least 20 years since the 70s. Before that, during the independence struggle until the early days of independence, we did have left-wing parties, the Labour Party, the Socialist Front, which ran the municipal council in Penang and a few more. Which providing an alternative to the right wing conservative laissez-faire economic policies of the Tunku then, but this was smashed by the authority. And after 69, what become worse is the ethnic based politics taking the main stage rather than the others politics or politics from the different perspectives.
I'm speaking today to Pierre Rousset, a member of the new anti-capitalist party in France and a guest speaker for this weekend socialism conference. Joining him in the studio as well is Chu Chung Kai, who is the Deputy Secretary General of Parti Socialist Malaysia. Parti Socialist Malaysia is the organizer of the conference. We'll continue our conversation after this short break. You're listening to BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Antik, joined in the studio by Lee Tree Lin. My guest today is Pierre Rousset, a member of the new anti-capitalist party in France, and Chu Chun Kai, who is the Deputy Secretary General of Parti Socialist Malaysia. We're having both of them today because they are the speaker as well as organizer, respectively, of this weekend's conference on socialism. And so before the break, we were talking a little bit about this backlash around the world against neoliberal economic policies. And I was wondering, Chun Kai, maybe you can start us off. What are some of these policies, and what can socialism offer as an alternative?
Well, you see, for the last three decades of neoliberal policy being implemented worldwide, what we see, the problem is the growing gap between the rich and the poor. There's a concentration of the wealth into the hands of few, which bring to come to this, today's situations, where the recent Oxfam report saying that 68% or 62% owning the wealth, which equivalent to half of the population, in the world, and this is very alarming. In fact, the world today, the wealth we created actually isn't enough for everyone. But because of this concentration of wealth into the hands of the few, because of this neoliberal policies, it creates crisis. Economic crisis, as well as others crisis, environmental crisis, social crisis, and also integration of the lower working class in around the world.
So, I mean, listening to this, why is it that what are the beginnings of trying to kind of chip away at this wall? Because, of course, even as we say these things, wealth creation remains an ideal of many. You know, even while we talk about the problems with a capitalist world, the drive for capitalism remains, for many people, an ideal way of living, just as an appeal for ethnic-based discussions or ethnic-based policies remain most easily accessible and understandable. How do we begin to start telling people, well, look, okay, fine, you know, that may have been how we've always been, but here are alternatives, here are other ways of thinking?
You see, there were economic system before capitalism, which is also creating wealth, but the capitalist system has been producing a lot of wealth through the profit motive, the profit seeking activities, and it did advancement to our society. But today, what we see, the capitalism has created so much of problems, and we need to break away from that profit seeking ways of developing our economics, because around the world, in today, even the capitalist society, we have people that we can share the wealth together. We don't need to have this kind of profit motive to drive the creation of wealth or improving our lives. We can do the things much more differently. But of course, because of the indoctrination of these ideas, of the you have to get the capitalists to seek profits, only the society will develop, it's drive everyone towards that direction. And in the process, of course, you're creating the problems of today, the inequalities, the poverties, and environmental problem, and so on. So for us, we're talking about socialist alternatives. We are basically saying that with so much of wealth we have today, we should have ways to distribute more equally for everyone, to improve their lives, to live a decent life, and to help each other. I believe that we are, as individual, we have the
ability.
And also the share our joy with each other. I think this is a very human thing, and the capitalist system is take away the human's nature of sharing solidarity among each other. We need to bring this back.
Pierre, I've mentioned your political party a few times. What does it mean to be an anti-capitalist?
What it means is, well, I will put it, you know, I am 70 years old. Okay, I am 70 years old. When I was young, because I have been young, you know, I was already a rebel. So I thought there were many things in capitalism which needed to be fought against. But it was a time where the it seemed obvious that a new generation in Europe will live better than their parents' generation. Then you had the downfall of the Soviet Union. So capitalism has no more excuse. They are master of the world. Huh? They cannot say, you know, it's because of communism or whatsoever. With global capitalist globalization, their thought, and in large extent, they are shaping the world in their own choices, free choices. Huh? And the result is what? The result is that the new generations in Europe are beginning to live and will live in a worse condition than their parents. That's a tremendous change in Europe. And it meant, you know, it meant that the hope in the possibility of capitalism to build a progressive society where, you know, it will be more equal, more human, and things, it's shattered. Because they had the chance to do it after the disintegration of USSR, and the result is exactly the reverse, which is, you know, Greece is a society in Europe which is disintegrating. If you go to Greece now, you have to bring medicine with you, like if you are going in certain third world countries, because medicine is not available or is too expensive for the level of life of many Greeks. Today, it's a European country, and this is happening in a European country. Precarity is growing in France, where all when I mean precarity, it's not just the fact that you don't have a stable job; it's your life is precarious, which was something of the third world, not of Europe. So now it's the. So I think that's for me. You know, I had reasons to rebel. 50 years ago, huh? But now the capitalism could really prove itself after the disintegration of USSR, and the end result is a total disregard for the stability of societies and the condition of life of people in many countries. So I have even more reasons to be anti-capitalist today than I had 50 years ago.
The rebellion continues, clearly.
but you see, at that time, you had a choice between two competing systems. But right now, I think many people on the political spectrum, across the political divide, can agree that there is a problem. But what is some of the solution that can be put in place to replace capitalism?
Yeah, so that's the challenge for us, and that's the problem for us. I mean, there are more reasons than ever to be anti-capitalist, I would say, but I would, because of the experience of Stalinism in Soviet Union, the hopes in socialism, it was not socialism, but it was identified to socialism, so the hopes have been lost because of the Stalinist experience. And also you had a huge victory, I think, of neoliberal ideology. More, you know, a type of individualism which is opposed to collective action, because you have forms of combination between. My generation was freedom of individuals, very much, you know, the student rebellion of the 60s. At the same time, it was put with the will of collective rights and collective struggles. More the victory of neoliberal ideology makes it more difficult. So that's our challenge, to give a hope in another type, a real type of socialism, as he said, from below, which is truly democratic, which truly empowered people, which truly reduces social inequalities and so on. But it's not easy. I mean, that's objectively, anti-capitalism should be strong, but we have to reconstruct a hope in the socialist alternative. And that's proved to be difficult.
Not just on a societal level, but on a national level, you see countries constantly seeking growth. You know, that is the word that we use. We're seeking growth, we're seeking economic growth, we're seeking investments. Are socialist principles compatible with that, with national growth in that sense?
Well, I would say no because of the ecological crisis. I mean, the ecological crisis reached such a point that even in a socialist planification perspective, you cannot forget about the ecological constraints. The question for me is to separate the conception of what is happiness and, you know, living a good life with the permanent growth of goods. If you identify progress and, let's say, good life with a constant accumulation of goods, you are doomed because, not because of an ideological choice, because of the ecological crisis. That's it. And the problem is capitalism is not able to answer that. I mean, the day the capitalists will really take seriously that fight against climate change, you will see the value of the big oil company falling, because it means that the oil will stay underground and their value will crush. So the oil majors are fine, thank you. It means that nothing is really done for fighting the climate change. So it's why I put it this way, if you want. Me, I have always been for a humanism respectful of life, others' life, other species' life. But now it's a must because of the ecological crisis.
Even we talk about growth, what we mean by growth? Is it growth in terms of the social wealth or the profit accumulated by the few? The problem that I see today of the capitalist system today is the big capitalist is not productive anymore. They're not investing in production of goods, but investing production more profit for them. Invest in the financial sector, service sector, which actually not creating any goods for the general population, but they accumulate wealth, continue to accumulate the wealth, and this is the problem today we have. And if even you're promoting producing more goods and you're actually encouraging also unnecessary consumption, which is how long our planet Earth can take this unnecessary consumption. You create creating demands of which things that you don't need, but you continue to push people to buy it. So how long we can sustain, and the Earth can take on this kind of over consumption of the goods. But of course, today the problem with capitalism is not of the consumption, is because of the capitalist itself is kind of not productive. They're not producing goods for the general population, but only accumulating profit through unproductive activities in the financial sector, in the casino capitalism, or what you call it.
I mean, those are the arguments put forth by politicians like Bernie Sanders in the US and Jeremy Corbyn in the UK, and they're commonly cited as examples of socialism's wide appeal. Do you consider them your comrades?
Well, I see that what's Bernie Sanders in US and Corbyn, they're appealing to the masses, which have been the victims of the system. What the proposal is not really something radical. It had been have been done in the past. What Bernie Sanders is just bringing back Franklin Roosevelt in the 30s, the New Deal for the U.S. Citizens. It's nothing, not really something revolutionary, but because of the crisis today, it sounds for a lot of people is something radical and can bring a radical change to their lives, which is already is so precarious under this capitalist system.
For both of you, what do you see as the role of government? What role should government play in society?
You ask to
either of you. Yeah, anybody can jump in.
Well, of course the government has to be represent the people, and the people has need to empower to participate in the decision making of the government policies. It's not just every 5 years you go elect the government and then let them do what they want. I think democracy is about participations of people in deciding, making decision related to their daily lives. So what we see, the government, the role of the government is to protect the fundamental rights of the citizen as well as improving our lives. But we cannot hand over the decision making and the running of government only to the hands of the few of the political elites. But it has to be the government the participation from below. So it means that more democratization of the government agencies from top to below. Everyone has the right and the power to participate in the decision-making in all levels. And this is what true democracy is about. And, of course, this is what socialism is about.
Can I give an example? Well, I put in a very simple way, I will put it. For me, the first task of a government should be to develop services useful for the big majority of the people. So health service, education service, pension, old age pension system, and so on. To address the basic need of the most people. And what our governments in many of our countries is doing is to destroy the public health service which existed, to destroy the education system which existed, to destroy the pension system which existed, to give it to transnational. So, for example, we are told now that insurance companies are going to have the property of old age pension in a growing way, or the health service. So this is, for me, very clear. You know, these governments are giving new power to transnationals against what had been developed and not by revolutionary governments, by previous capitalist government, as in Europe it was the welfare system very much developed. But it gave a certain degree of equality in health, a certain degree of equality in education, a certain degree of equality in living a decent life in old age. And these equalities are now destroyed to the benefit of the transnationals.
Pierre, thank you. Chunkai, thank you for coming on. I've been speaking to Chu Chunkai, who is the Deputy Secretary General of Party Socialist Malaysia. Party Socialist Malaysia is also the organizer of this weekend's conference, and it's happening starting tomorrow. and up until Sunday. For more information about that conference, you can log on to Facebook and search Socialism Conference 2016. Is that right?
Socialism 2016.
Socialism 2016. And also in the studio with us was Pierre Risset. He will be a speaker at this weekend's conference. He's a member of France's new anti-capitalist party. And I've been joined by Lee Trillin. I'm Troy Antic. You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.